Hallelujah. You know, I continued this morning with my series of studies I've been doing called The Reality of Redemption. And last, well, 2 weeks ago, you'll remember that I spoke on the subject of that we're redeemed from the curse of poverty. Now, as part of our studies we've been looking at, we've seen that the curse is a threefold curse. The curse involves poverty, it involves sickness, and death. And what we are going to look at this morning is the subject of redeemed from the curse of sickness. And I want to read to you the verse which I've been taking as my key text verse for the whole of the series, which is found in the book of Galatians chapter 3. And verse 13 and 14, which tells us this, a well-known verse, you'll know it, probably off by heart, but I want to read it to you anyway. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now this verse shows us and declares to us that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And as I've just said, that we've been looking at this subject for quite a few months now. We had a break for a couple of months where we had our mission month and that time of just waiting upon the Lord. But, you know, I wanted to bring this subject to a conclusion, and I just had a few more lessons that I wanted to teach on it. You know, because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, you know, we need to understand what that scripture's actually telling us. You know, we said this last time that, you know, the law was not just the Ten Commandments. You know, we read these things in the scriptures, you know, where the rich young man came to Jesus and said, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus asked him, you know, what's your interpretation of the law? You know, how do you understand it? And, you know, then that young man began to rattle off a few of the commandments. You know, yes, the Ten Commandments is called the law, and it's upon those Ten Commandments that every, I was going to say righteous nation, but every nation that's had some sort of Christian input in the years gone by had their law of the land based and founded upon the Ten Commandments. But the law isn't just the Ten Commandments. In fact, the law isn't just what God spoke to Moses at that occasion. You know, because the law involves, and the Jews would understand the law to include the whole of the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Five books. They call it the Pentateuch. And that is the law, as far as they're concerned. So what we said last time is that to understand where the curses came from, and you know, we need to look at those five books of the Bible. And one important thing we did see, and it's been coming up time and again throughout the studies that we've been doing, is that the curses came because of law breakers, people that didn't keep the law. And we see that particularly in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, which we're going to, but before we go there, well, you can turn to Deuteronomy 28. And also at the same time, we want to turn to Genesis chapter 3. Then we're going to look at these two scriptures this morning. We did touch on them last time, but Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, and then Deuteronomy 28. So Genesis 3 says this, Then to Adam, God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. See, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he commanded them that they were not to touch the tree that was in the middle of the garden. He said, every other tree in the garden is yours. You can eat from it, you can do what you like with it. But that tree there, he says, in the middle of the garden, that's my tree. And you don't touch it. The day you touch that tree, the day you eat of that tree, you will die. And that was what God said. And that's the only thing God had. Their only law, if you like. The only command they were given, apart from the fact to be fruitful and to multiply and to be blessed, was that they were not to touch that tree. And, well, we know what happened. The serpent came and deceived Eve and opened her eyes and she saw how beautiful the tree was, and then the fruit was beautiful and luscious. And you know, the serpent said that God didn't really mean what he said. God had to doubt what God said, so she took of the fruit and she ate. And then she gave some to Adam and he ate. And then they were law breakers. They'd broken the law, or the only law that they had. And God said to Adam, he says, you have eaten of the tree which I commanded you shall not eat of it. So because of that, he says, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. For the thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And there in those two verses, or three verses, 17, 18 and 19, we see the threefold curse in operation, already in effect. Pain, in verse 17, where it says, in toil you shall eat of it. In verse 19, it says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. It talks about poverty. And the final line of those, verse 19, or a few lines say, you know, you're going to return to the ground, where out of it you're taken. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. It's talking about death. That's talking about physical death. But, you know, the curse was more of a physical death. And we'll look at that next time as we get on to the third of these threefold curses. So, we've been redeemed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from poverty, redeemed from sickness, and redeemed from death. Just to underline and show you that sickness is definitely a curse, we're going to the book of Deuteronomy 28. And we're going to commence reading at verse 15. Just going to read half a dozen or so verses throughout the chapter. So stay with me. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15. It says, it shall come to pass. Now listen to the words that God is speaking. It shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. The curse comes upon lawbreakers, those who have broken the law. And by nature we are sinful and we have broken the law. We were born into sin. The scripture tells us that, and we looked at that in one of the very first studies that we did. We are born into sin, so by nature we are lawbreakers and we are under the curse. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, we read in Galatians. It goes on in verse 15, it says that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Yeah. So wherever you go, the curse will be there. Yeah. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Yeah. That's on your provision. Yeah. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land. Yeah. The increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. That's their work. You know, their labor. You know, the people of God, they were farmers, they were cattle rearers, you know, shepherds. They looked after the flocks. says, cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you. How many know what the plague is? That's sickness and disease. It's a plague. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. There, verse 22 there. Clearly talking about sickness, fever, consumption, inflammation, the plague. Let's look at verse 27. It says, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of hearts. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall only be oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Verse 35. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Verse 58. Let's carry on over the page in my Bible. Maybe in yours. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Listen to this. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. Sickness is clearly listed as one of the curses. It's the curse. Sickness is a curse. If sickness was not a curse, then the hospitals and the doctors would be empty. Because everybody would want to be enjoying the blessing of sickness. You know, it amazes me the amount of people that will say that sickness, it's not God's will to heal us. Well, if that's the case then, don't bother going to the doctors to get well. Because the moment you go to the doctors to get well, you'll be stepping out of the will of God for your life. You know, that's just plain idiocy. That's not what the scripture says. You know, we've got doctors, and our desire, and our human instinct that when we get sick, we want to get well. Because God's put that within us. And God's made us that way, to desire the blessing, to desire what he has for us. But when we read these scriptures in Deuteronomy, it might appear to us, you know, it says it in the scriptures. We read it. I don't know if you noticed how many times you went and read those verses. It said, the Lord will strike. God will bring this upon you. You know, the Lord will do this. The Lord will put these tumors and things on you. Now, it would appear from that scripture, Deuteronomy 8:28, and other scriptures throughout the Bible, that God is inflicting man with sickness and disease. But that's not what he does. So now we've got a problem here. We've got a... God's word here says that God's going to do something, but that's not what his nature is. What we've got to settle in our hearts once and for all, wherever, certainly on the subject of sickness, on the subject of poverty, on the subject of death, on sin, on anything that to do with God, we've got to settle in our hearts once and for all that God is good and he only does good. That's what the scripture says in Psalm 119 verse 68. It says, you are good and do good. And that's, we've got to settle that right from the very beginning, that God is in good God. And he does not put sickness on people. Now, where we've got the problem here in the scriptures, we've got to understand language. We've got to understand the makeup of the Hebrew language. Now, in English, we have our language, we speak. Perhaps we don't think of it like this, because we've been brought up to speak it. But if you start to learn any foreign language, like French, Spanish, German, any language of the world, you can look to go. And if you're still at school, you'll know this to be true. If you've studied them, you'll know this to be true. But these languages, you learn the different tenses, the past tense, the imperfect tense, the future tense, the present tense. In German, I think there's the dative tense. You know, there's loads of different tenses in the languages. We've got them in English, perhaps we don't think of them because we speak it all the time. But when we say we are going to do something, we're talking about in the future tense. When we say we did this, it's the past tense. Or we are doing it, it's the present tense. Then there's other tenses as well. And it's the same in the Hebrew language, all these different tenses. But the problem we've got in English is that there's no corresponding tense to one of the Hebrew tenses. And what this is, just to put it in simple English for you, is that in the Hebrew, there is what we call the permissive tense and the causative tense. In other words, that God will permit something or God will cause something to happen. And we don't have a corresponding tense in English. So the way it's been translated in the Bible is that God will do this. That doesn't mean he's going to cause it to happen, but he will allow it to happen in your life. It's his permissive will. And we see it right the way through the scriptures. I just want to go through, just give you three scriptures this morning, just to show you the permissive and causative tenses or wills of God. If we go to the book of Isaiah chapter 45. Here in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 45 verse 7, this is God speaking to Cyrus. And God says, I form the light, and I create darkness. I make peace, and I create calamity, or evil. I, the Lord, do these things. Now, we know that's not true, because the scripture tells us in John, 1 John, 1 verse 5, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So if there's no darkness in God, he cannot create it. He cannot send it. He cannot cause it to happen. He allows it. He allows darkness to come upon us, but he doesn't send it. He doesn't give it. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, that's a little one, you might struggle finding that book of Amos. But Amos chapter 3, verse 6 says this, if a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in the city, or again, if there's evil in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Now who knows that God doesn't do evil? He should do, because if the Lord did evil, then he's got no business rebuking us for sin. If God does evil, why is he so big on us being holy and righteous? If God does evil, then he's got no business at all requiring that we repent of our sins. Because that would be hypocrisy. And that's not what God's like. God is holy, God is just, God is righteous. There is no evil in him at all. So he cannot do evil, as this scripture says, but he will allow it to happen. It says, is there calamity in the city, will not the Lord have allowed it? Is how it should have been translated. God allowed it. He didn't do it, he allowed it. We need to understand these things. One final scripture. Again, it's an Old Testament one. It's the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. This is just after David's been anointed king. As a young teenage boy. The prophet Samuel anoints him with oil, anoints him as king over his people. And from that moment, God's Spirit leads King Saul. And in 1 Samuel 16, verse 14, it says this: "The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him." Now come on. God does not send evil spirits. God is good. And he only does good. But God will allow them to attack. And on the basis of the permissive and the causative wills and tenses, God does not send sickness nor disease, but he does allow it. If we step out of his will, we break his law, we break his command. God doesn't send the curse, he allows it. God is good, and he does good. And we've got to settle that once and for all. Whenever we approach God, we can't go to God asking for healing if we think that he's the author of it, and he's the one that's put it upon us. We can't go to God and ask him to meet our needs if we think he's the one who's got us in the mess. We've got to settle that God is good. And he only does good. He's only got our interest at his heart. He cares for us. So what these scriptures should be reading in Deuteronomy 28, verse 61 should say, "Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord allow to come upon you until you are destroyed." You know, if you thought about this, even though Jesus died, and we've remembered it this morning as we came to the communion table, even though Jesus died to redeem the world of sin, he still allows people to go to hell. It's their choice. They make the choice. They choose where they want to go. It's not up to God. God's done all that needs to be done. He sent Jesus to be our Saviour. We've been redeemed from sin. Now, if you don't want to receive God's forgiveness, then that's up to you. If you don't want to receive his healing, then that's up to you. If you don't want to receive his blessing, then that's up to you. It's already been provided. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, sickness and disease is a curse. We've seen that in the scriptures. Just think about this word for a minute. Disease. Do you know what disease is? It's broken ease. Just think about it. If you're diseased, you're not at ease. There's something wrong. The prefix D-I-S, dis, means to be broken or apart. And there's many words in the English language which tell us this. Just look at things like, I've got a few words here. Disability. Broken ability. You're not able to do something. Your ability's been broken. Disadvantage. Your advantage has been broken. Discourage. You've got broken courage. Disaccord. Broken unity. You're not at unity. Discord. The sickness makes slaves of family, friends, and loved ones who must care for the sick person. When someone's sick in the family, it makes slaves of everybody else in the household because they have to care. They can't do this because they've got to nurse the sick one. They can't do this because that brings them into bondage, into slavery. And that's what sickness does. Sickness is a thief and a robber. It robs folk of their loved ones. It robs them of their health. It robs them of their happiness. It robs them of their ability to work. It robs them of other things, soundness of mind. It robs them of their money. Sickness is a curse. And notice what verse 15 said in Deuteronomy. We read it and touched on it, that these curses would come upon God's people if they were not obedient to him. They broke the law. And obedience is always the precursor to blessing. You saw that in the life of Abraham. You know, God spoke to Joshua, that servant of his who took over from Moses. And he said to Joshua, in Joshua 1 verse 7, it says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you," listen to the words, "that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." He says, Joshua says, be obedient to me and you'll have the blessing. Do what I tell you to do and you'll be blessed. You'll be prosperous. You'll be successful. You know, when you're going to march through Canaan's land, you just follow me, do what I tell you to do, you won't have a problem. That's all God wants us to do, is be obedient to him. And if more of us, and I'm included, I'm top of the list, if we were obedient to what God says, we wouldn't get ourselves into half the mess that we get ourselves into. It's because we say, well, yeah, God said this, but I think I've got a better way. I can do it my way. And once we get into that territory, then we're in, I was going to say we're walking on very thin ice, but we're actually not walking on ice at all. We're trying to walk on water without anything to support us. Now, I know Peter walked on the water, and that's a different, he was being obedient to what Jesus told him to do. Jesus told him to come, and he came. Let's just go to another scripture, Proverbs 4, try and not be too long. Proverbs 4 verse 20. I love these verses. These are some of my favourite verses in the scriptures. Proverbs 4 verse 20 says this: "My son, give attention." Now on Tuesday night, I believe it's Tuesday night, we were looking at being focused. Having our focus on God. And here in Proverbs 4 verse 20 says, "My son, give attention, give your focus. Put everything you've got to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." What beautiful words. God's word, it says here, is life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. If we keep God's word before our eyes, in our ears, in our heart, in our mouth, we're obedient to what God says, it will cause the blessing of prosperity and health to be manifest in our bodies and in our lives. Because the blessing is health and healing. The blessing is prosperity, the blessing is health and healing, the blessing is life. If sickness is under the curse, then health and healing's got to be under the blessing. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, so that the blessing might come upon you and me. You know, there's a scripture we read every week practically. If it's not every week, it's certainly every 2-3 weeks, when we come to the table of the Lord. And it's the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 53. And in Isaiah 53 verse 4 it says this: "Surely," that underlines it, "surely, without a doubt," that's what that word means. With no variation, no shadow of turning, with absolute certainty, that's that word surely, that's what it means. "Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Now, we've said this many times. These two words, griefs and sorrows, literally mean sicknesses and pains. In actual fact, I'll tell you what the word grief means: this. Anxiety, malady, sickness and disease. That's the word grief. The word sorrow means anguish, affliction, grief and pain. Anguish, affliction, grief and pain. In actual fact, the Holy Spirit himself interprets those two words for us in the book of Matthew. Matthew 8:17, where it says that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. It says he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. That's the book of Matthew, talking about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gives us that translation. But it says here, it says, He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. He was afflicted of, he's talking about Jesus, He was afflicted of God with every sickness and every disease ever known to man, and those that aren't yet known. Jesus was wounded, He was beaten, He was bruised. And by those stripes that He bore, we are healed and made whole. Now, that word healed at the end of that verse. Well, Brother Peter, you might say. That means being healed of sin. Because that's what Jesus is. That's what they're talking about. He's being wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. It's talking about healing of sin. No, it's not. The word in the Hebrew is the word rapha, which talks about the work of a physician. Healing. The work of a physician. Not talking about sin at all. Now, sin's included, don't get me wrong, it's not saying that we're not healed of sin, because we are. It includes sin, but it's not exclusive to sin. It includes, or it's almost exclusively, physical sicknesses. The word rapha in the Hebrew word means physical illness. The work of a physician or doctor. You don't go to a doctor to get your sins claims. You go to a doctor to get healed of a sickness and a disease that you're suffering from. So that's what that word means. It literally means physical illnesses. Sickness and our health and healing is under the blessing, under the atonement. 1 Peter 2:24, Peter looks back at the cross and he says, almost similar words, he says, look, with His stripes we were healed. It's already accomplished, it's already done. Christ has redeemed us. I want to finish with two verses this morning. Sorry to keep you a little bit longer, but the book of James, chapter 5. Now this is an interesting scripture. You know James 5 very well. We're going to read two verses, 14 and 15. James writes to the Christians, the church. And he says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. And I want us to get stuck on one word in that verse. Verse 16. The prayer of faith will save the sick. If sickness is such a blessing, why do we need to be saved from it? There's a question to think about. Many people say, well, it's a blessing. Well, in fact, they use the phrase, and this is a very dangerous phrase to use, and beware of never using it. And I know what, we've used it in the past, and if we have, well, we should repent. But we use this phrase, a blessing in disguise. God does not disguise His blessings. He doesn't need to disguise His blessings. The only person that needs to disguise a blessing is the devil. Because he's the master deceiver. A disguise talks about deception, being deceived. That's why criminals wear disguises when they go and hold up a bank. Or they go and rob someone. So they don't want you to, they want you to be deceived. They hide behind false documents. You know, these people that lock on the door and say they're from the water board or the gas board and they rob old ladies. They hide behind disguises. Because they want to deceive you. And the devil's the one who deceives. God does not deceive. He doesn't need to wrap up his blessing in a disguise. He doesn't need to... Now, I'm not saying God won't bless you when you're going through sickness, and God won't speak to you, or God won't minister to you, because he does. But he never sends that sickness in order to teach you a lesson. So never use that statement, a blessing in disguise. To, well, you know, this sickness was upon me, but it was a real, it really was a blessing. No, it wasn't a blessing. Sickness has never been a blessing. Now, what God done through that, or what God does through it, may be the blessing, but not the sickness. So let's make sure we understand. Sickness, we need to be saved from it. That's what James tells us. The prayer of faith will save the sick. It will save the sick. Save the sick. We need to be saved from sin. We need to be saved from sickness. We need to be saved from poverty. We need to be saved from death. That's why Jesus has died on the cross. You know, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, so that the blessing might come upon us. And just to wrap up this morning, I want you to hear what God says. The third epistle of John, verse 2, says this. Beloved, I pray, or I desire. Now let's get this right. This is, although this is John writing to the church, this is God speaking to you and me. This is as God speaking. And he says, beloved, I desire, I pray, I will. You can translate all those words the same. That you may prosper in all things and be in health. Even as your soul prospers. Now this verse clearly tells us that not only does God want us to prosper in all things, not just spiritual things, all things, but that he wants us healthy. You know, sickness and disease is not God's will for his children. He wants them blessed with health. It's God's will that you be healthy and whole. It's God's will that I be healthy and whole. And Jesus has paid the ransom price, his blood, shed at Calvary, to deliver you from sickness. And he's already provided all that we need to be, not only to be healed, but to live healthy. That means we never get sick. If you live healthy, you don't get sick. Now, if you do something wrong, if you go out in the cold on a snowy day in just a t-shirt and shorts, you are tempting God if you say, well, I don't get sick, I don't get these things, because you've got to look after yourself, you've got to do what's right. You know, don't tempt the Lord your God. You know, if you go out without protection, you should expect to get sick. But if we live, we do what God says, we lead it to him, and we look after our bodies, we look after ourselves. You know, you can't live on a diet of KFC and McDonald's and not get fat. You can't do it. I heard somebody once say this. But it's in the genes. He says, no, it's not in your genes, it's outside of your genes. Overhanging. You are not born that way. You don't want to grow like that, then you've got to do something about it. You know, you go outside without clothes on, that coats and scarves and hats and things in the cold weather, you're going to pick up a germ. If you're not protected, you're not kept warm. So don't tempt the Lord God. Yes, he's already paid the price so that we can live healthy. But there are other conditions. We haven't got time to look at those today. But there are other conditions in the scriptures that we need to fulfill. And one of those is obedience to God. Staying in his obedience. Staying in his protection. Staying under the blessing. Because under the blessing, there's life, there's health, and prosperity. We've been redeemed from the curse so that the blessing might come. Redeemed from sickness so that we can live healthy. We can live healed. Don't get condemned if you're sick. Let me say that. Don't ever get condemned if you're sick. If you get sick, seek to get well. But don't let anybody tell you, well, it's because you don't believe God or because you don't. If you get sick, go straight to God. Lord, I may have done something wrong. Maybe it's my own stupid foolishness for doing, you know, going out without a coat or something like that. Repent of it, go to God. Thank him that he's already paid the price so you can be healed. You know, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. If you want to go to the doctors, go to the doctors. But trust God that the medication he gives you will do you good. Don't be stupid and throw away the medicine. Saying, well, I'm going to trust God then, so I don't have to take the medicine. No, if you've got medicine you've been prescribing, you take it. And don't you dare come off of it unless God tells you to do that. Because that's the worst thing you can do. But in all these things, put our trust in God. God is the healer. We've sung it this morning. I am the Lord that heals you, he says. Now God can use very many ways. He might an instant heal, a miracle in our life. We might go to the doctor and receive medicine. We might have to go to the hospital and have an operation. But in all these things, just trust God. He's our healer. He's the one. He's paid the price so we can be here. We don't have to stay sick. Now, wherever we get our healing, let's give thanks to God that he's the one who's done it. He's the one who's paid the price. And we've been redeemed from the curse. But it is possible that we can live a life where we never get sick. Because that's been provided for as well. You know, the health. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray about God's blessing this morning.